Brothers and sisters, in the last session, I spoke of how a person's conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. When he has even a bit of conscience remaining, he'd feel guilty when committing sins. But people with a seared conscience have become numb and don't hesitate to commit even sins leading to death. Our God of love and mercy doesn't destroy a person immediately just because he committed a serious sin. He tries to enlighten him on his faults in various ways and repeatedly gives him a chance to turn back. Yet, if he doesn't pay heed to such awakenings from God, or if he doesn't turn back even after realizing his faults, he ends up having his heart consumed by Satan. While living in this end time filled with sins and evil, we have to feel sensitive to even minor sins and always guard ourselves with the word. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, God urges us to become His blameless children in this crooked and perverse generation and appear as lights to them. Therefore, I ask that all of you shine the light of truth in this dark and corrupt world and adorn yourselves as the Lord's holy and pure bride. As the Holy Spirit comes upon us and hear the words of truth, the Holy Spirit rejoices. And even if we feel afflicted, if we pray with gratitude, we can change ourselves. But at some point, when we cease to pray, once at some point when we begin to take in worldly things, when we put our interest in them, we don't like to receive an awakening from the Word. So some people leave the church. At first, they are afraid of facing a disaster when leave the church. But after they go back to the world, they don't have problems and they don't immediately face a disaster. So such fears, such nervousness is, they don't have them because they don't have a problem right now. So that means the heart's becoming numb and number. As once they become numb, they become quickly stained with the sins at a rapid pace. You can see those people who used to be in our church, but as we see them living in the world, they like put on dark clothes, black suits. We are surprised, but this is a result of not listening to the Holy Spirit, not listening to the conscience, and the darkness of sins and evil covers them very quickly. So we have to live in the light all the more so that we can become set a good example for them. They would think of us, wow, living in the light is so good, but why do I have to live like this? They would discern. They would notice how beautiful the truth is. So we have to act that way so that people who left the church may come back, and also people in the world can hear the voice here from their conscience. We have to guide them to light and salvation. If you look at the people who left the church, and you shouldn't just think of them as disappointing or frustrating, but as I told you in the last session, we have to, you know, they become numb, their conscience has become numb, and then the Holy Spirit is gone, and they no longer hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they are controlled by the Satan. You have to understand those spiritual principles, and you have to stay vigilant against them. Verse 34 says, He breaks in pieces mighty men without inquiry and sets others in their place. Elihu was claiming that when mighty men, namely people with authority and power, do evil, he breaks them in pieces and sets others in their place without looking into the facts further. Is this right? When God accomplishes work, even if His workers are a bit lacking and clumsy, He bears with them so they can carry out their duties anyhow. But when they choose to give up their duties, God cannot but appoint someone else. For example, Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot was stealing from the money box, but He didn't tell him to lay down his duties. Despite knowing that Judas would sell him, he loved him and gave him chances to repent to the end. But because Judas himself chose to walk down the path to destruction, rejecting his duties, God would place him with Matthias. Elihu viewed this good God based on his own thoughts and remarked, God breaks the mighty man in pieces without investigation. Remember how Jesus called Judas Iscariot and gave him chances to the end. It was an example of true goodness and love. You should not judge about these things. Elihu was in mentioning mighty men, Elihu was referring to Job, who had authority and wealth in the past. He judged that though Job had a lot of things, he didn't look after the poor, orphans, and widows, but rather distressed them. So he was saying like, Job, you used to have great authority and wealth, but God knows how you committed evil and stood against him. He would immediately break you in pieces without looking into the facts further. Set another person and bless him. Elihu also claimed that even if God did so, no one would dare complain before his absolute authority. Everyone, is it appropriate to say this to a person who is suffering tremendous trials? Imagine how Job must have felt. While he considered himself to be without any transgressions or faults, he must have been so heartbroken while being criticized and accused groundlessly. Even if someone has done evil, when he's lost everything and fallen into despair, it is of goodness to provide him with strength and hope. Can you imagine how much Elihu hated Job, that he continually spoke harshly against Job, utterly disregarding him? Moreover, he wasn't even around the same age as Job. He was much younger. This arose from his ill feelings and pride. His ill feelings originated from a heart by which he compared himself with others and wanted to be exalted, which is arrogance. We have to realize how bad such feelings are. As Elihu watched Job resenting God and pretending to be righteous even in trials, his pride was hurt and his ill feelings were provoked. So he was saying, it's good that God struck Job without having to be patient with them. This indicates what a man of untruth Elihu was and how evil his heart was. You have to apply this to yourselves. Let's say someone is in trouble. How do you feel? Do you feel relieved? Do you feel happy about his trouble? Then you are no different from Elihu. This is evil. I will explain about this later. There are also similar, people in a similar position. They have jealousy when others succeed. They feel happier when others fail. This is also people want to exalt them. So from such an evil heart come evil words, and we have to examine our life as well. And you have to make sure that such an evil doesn't remain even a little bit. You have to shatter yourselves, and you have to admit that this is evil. And if someone is in trouble, if you think, God, he deserves that punishment, you should not think that way. You are making yourself a judge. You have to always check your lips. You should not quote, it's better not to quote the word of God, quote God's name. You have to check whether, check what kind of heart and attitude you are speaking. You have to discover yourselves well. We can also notice how much Elihu's pride was hurt while Job enjoyed his wealth and authority. As his hurt pride and the feelings he'd held back exploded, Elihu recklessly judged and condemned Job. He randomly evaluated things and tried to defeat Job. We have a lot of such things in our heart. When others prosper, when others are better off, when others are recognized and become the head, so you pretend to serve him, but in the heart, internally, you are just uncomfortable because another person prospers more and is recognized more, so you feel uncomfortable about that. So, but what does the heart of truth be like? You have to rejoice entirely and rejoice it, happy with it, and you have to be happy about him becoming the leader, happy about one of your members becoming the leader, or and you have to rejoice entirely and try to help him, but you feel uncomfortable, but you don't show it outwardly, but you are, your pride is hurt. And let's say the situation changes and that person is Lord again, that person when he is in a lower position, you think that he you already this has to be discovered, and that way you can remove evil feelings like comparing pride and comparing yourself with others. So you have to make sure that you rejoice entirely with the truth. When another person succeeds, you have to clap your hands in celebration. Even if another person is Lord, you can learn a lesson from it. You have to humble yourself and learn a lesson. And you can just... But why do you have to criticize him? Why do you have to say words of untruth? Why do you have to feel relieved and happy when and if you like to hear such bad words, if you have to know that your heart is evil. You have to evil like that of Elihu. You are comparing yourself with others. You try to exalt yourself, and you have to discover such desires in a heart. With pride, one doesn't give in to others but tries to exalt himself and elevate his dignity. Out in the world, some people even say, if I have to give up pride, I'd rather die. So when there are differences in opinion, when you present your opinion and your opinion is dismissed and not accepted, you insist on your... Even though other people have different opinions, some people stick to their pride, they distress, you distress others. If you feel ignored, you get angry, you break peace, you have to... This is also sticking to pride. But that's not what the truth teaches us. While Jesus was hung on the cross, many people mocked him, saying, if you're the Son of God, get down from the cross, then I will believe. If Jesus had stuck to his pride, even a little bit, as soon as he heard this, he would have come down and said, see, I have power. I'm the Son of God. Or he wouldn't even have carried the cross in the first place. But as Jesus didn't have even a bit of pride, he neither quarreled nor argued. Harboring no feelings, he completely put himself to death. His feelings were not even hurt. When we have feelings, your feelings are hurt. But when you have no feelings, there's no reason for your feelings to be hurt. There's no reason for you to have a resentment, agony, or losing of the fullness, etc. Even if you feel ignored, what if you get a little bit ignored? You can be Lord. Then Father God exalts you. But if you have pride, you cannot do that. Even if you read a lot of words of truth and memorize them, you cannot do that. If your pride is hurt, you feel saddened, you feel distressed, you lose the joy. this is the pride, your pride being hurt. You have to discover that. Why you have to check why you are not why you have lost the fullness. You have to if you have lost your fullness, this is the problem. This itself is the problem. You have to figure out why. You may have an excuse like, because someone else wasn't talking behind my back, and because my so you have to look at ourselves exactly. But people don't do that. But people keep an excuse saying, because he was gossiping about me, that's why I have no fullness. If you say that, you cannot change yourself. Even if someone is talking behind your back, there's no reason for you to feel loose joy. You can keep filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the person who is gossiping about you committed sin, but you are not committing a sin. That doesn't, I mean, even if you hear such a gossip, you're still a citizen of heaven. You're still a son of God, and you are obeying the word of God, and you are happy about that. There's no reason for you to feel, no reason for you to lose joy, fullness, just because you heard some gossip against you. Once you just cast off the ill feelings, all things are completed. No matter what, whatever you hear from others, but no matter what kind of criticism you get, you still enjoy true peace. This is putting yourself to death completely. The same went for Apostle Paul. Though Apostle Paul suffered many false charges and got persecuted while sharing the gospel, he didn't reveal that he was a Roman citizen. Since Rome was a great empire ruling over Europe and some of the regions in Asia and Africa, people couldn't dare arrest a person with a Roman citizenship. Had Apostle Paul insisted on his bride, he would have exercised his rights rather than being imprisoned. He would have, involving his fleshly thoughts, he would have, given many kinds of reasons. If Apostle Paul involved fleshly thoughts, he would have done so. But Apostle Paul knew the will of God. He knew that it was God's will that he was arrested. It was the Lord's will and God's desired will. That's why he chose that difficult path. But since he had a cast of pride, he subjected himself to arrest or beating. He only entrusted things to God's justice. We have to note that pride is utterly worthless. If we have pride, it is difficult to serve. Failure to understand and forgive others and desire to point out their faults all stem from our pride. Keep in mind that Elihu's feelings also originate from pride. Usually, your pride can get hurt in relationships where you can compare yourself with others. If someone has nothing to do with you, it doesn't really matter whether he becomes successful or exalted. Let me give you an example. If you have jealousy, your pride gets hurt when your colleague receives praise. While you want to do a better job and get compliments, you fail to do so. As you compare yourself with them, your pride gets hurt. As your pride is hurt and ill feelings are provoked, you hate and misunderstand it and break peace. If you are more evil, you try to find fault with him, make up lies out of ill feelings, and slander him, piling up more evil. Later, you dislike even the person who gives him a compliment. You have to know how evil the feelings from your pride are and how much distress they cause you. The feelings don't only distress you, I mean, everyone. When someone is complimented, you feel uncomfortable and you gossip about him. And your gossip spreads among people and it comes back to your ears and much more things are added to your gossip. So you become a bad person because your gossips are amplified. So what do you have to do with that? You gossip about the person and the gossip spread among people, and that's your fault. And you have to realize that you have a heart of compelling yourself with others, and you are not happy when others succeed. People have strengths and weaknesses, but why do you want to? And you don't like it when another person is complimented. So this is evil feelings inside you. You have to discover them, and when your gossips spread among people and gets bigger and bigger, you have to admit that you are distressing yourself by speaking such, by your evil, and you have to repent and change yourself. Then everything will come back to a peaceful. And once you say evil things and you distress others and you distress yourself and you make yourself miserable, you have to realize that. So from now on, you have to achieve a broader and bigger heart. But when your pride is hard, you have to know how evil the feelings from your pride are and how much distress they can cause you. The feelings don't only distress you as you hate your opponent and develop ill feelings even against the person who compliments him, discords arise. As you can see, one's pride leads to disputes and brings about Satan's interference. Pride also causes even a trivial matter to grow into a major issue. In turn, it damages his relationship with close friends or causes him to harbor enmity against his family members for life. Pride may also cause you to fall into temptations in church and lose God's grace and your faith. If things get worse, you may hate your pastor and even leave the church. As you can see, our pride doesn't boost our dignity, but instead undermines it. Contrarily, if we have our pride and ill feelings removed, we rejoice when others succeed and make peace with all people. In turn, we can receive God's boundless love. Therefore, we are to realize how worthless and harmful our pride and ill feelings are, remove them completely, and practice the truth and love as mature Christians. Elihu went on to say in 34:25, therefore he knows their works and he overthrows them in the night and they are crushed. Here, they refers to mighty people, namely those who have wealth and authority but commit evil, not looking after orphans and widows. He was talking about Job. He was talking about Job indirectly. He meant that since God knew all of Job's deeds, he could destroy him overnight. Elihu also said in chapter 34, verses 26 and 27, he strikes them like a wicked in a public place because they turned aside from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. He was saying that God strikes the evil in the presence of people. The reason is they turn away from God and have no regard for any of his laws, any of his ways. Having no regard for any of God's ways means not following the truth of God, but living as they please. Elihu intended to say, Job, because you turned away from God's ways and walked the evil path, God struck your children and possessions in people's presence. And he's smiting your body with sore boils. How distressed Job must have felt hearing this. If he hadn't been ill, he could have fought, but he couldn't. Because no one was interested in his side of the story and consoled or helped him, his anguish must have been greater than we can imagine. Elihu repeatedly made himself a god and condemned Job. I mean, even though you are not have physical illness like that, when your heart is tried, when you are have the trials of the heart, when you are in some uncomfortable relationship with someone, when you feel ignored, when your pride is hurt, it distresses you a lot. When you meet a person who whom you dislike, you have no joy, and you're not happy. When you think about him, even during a meal, you don't have any appetite. This is the trials of the heart. This is the phenomena that you have during the trials of the heart. And Job was having such a... When you have the trials of the heart, you have to finish it quickly. As I told you, you have to let go of your pride, let go of yourself, let go of... Even though you are not recognized, Father God is watching you from heaven and rewards you. This is an everlasting thing. Even if you are not complimented on this earth, you will be rewarded by God. So this should be your source of joy and happiness. So if you are qualified, if you are appropriate, you are... So even if you face misunderstanding, even if you are not recognized, you don't have no reason to feel resentful, and you shouldn't give excuses to anyone. But even some people have and Job was agonized because Elihu was distressing him, and your pride and feelings of and that's what makes you distressed. You have to shatter yourself and change your, and become blessed ones. Elihu repeatedly made himself a god and condemned Job. He still indirectly spoke about Job, not pointing things out directly, because Job's feelings had intensified from continued disputes with his friends. Provoking Job wouldn't benefit him at all. Chapter 34, verse 28 says, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come to him, and that he might hear the cry of the afflicted. What he meant to say here is, Job, how much you've bothered the poor. There are many who are being afflicted because of you. So they cried out to God, and he listened to their prayer. Elihu was stepping up his attacks. Before, I mentioned that Elihu was intelligent enough to rebuke Job and his friends who had outstanding knowledge, and that he was a person recognized by others. So, no wonder his words sounded pretty reasonable to people who didn't know Job, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, whoever talks to us, we shouldn't waver or be carried away by their words alone. As far as Job was concerned, Elihu's arguments were so outrageous, unfair, and out of place. Though Elihu judged and condemned Job with total nonsense, we are well aware of what kind of person Job was. In a physical sense, Job was indeed blameless and good to the point where God described him as follows, "There is no one like him on the earth, blameless and upright, man fearing God and turning away from evil." He treated the rich and the poor equally and did his utmost to help the weak. He didn't look down on anyone for lack of education. How many people of this kind would be there in the world? By the way, Elihu was making outrageous charges which were complete opposites of Job's good deeds. If a third party had listened to Elihu alone, he must have seen Job as a horribly wicked person. In the world are many people who judge and condemn others with wrong ways of thinking and cause misunderstandings. So I challenge you to always stay on alert and discern things in the truth. Let's say you've only done good out of goodwill, but people like Elihu causes you to suffer false charges and misunderstanding by spreading misinformation, how agonized you would be. But even evildoers who harass others were once innocent children. First, the enemy devil is reigning over this world. Second, as they grow up, since Adam committed sin, God took away Adam's rights. and hand it over to the enemy devil. And because people obey the untruth, they belong to the enemy devil. We are not God's children, but become children of the darkness. But the darkness is literally causing people to get stained with sins more and more. There's no the enemy devil makes people more evil, more. So because this world is controlled by the enemy devil, people, the Satan can infiltrate through many things. Look at the trends of the world, secular world, secular trends. They listen to their songs and videos. They have bad content rather than good content. Everything is under the influence of Satan. Second, as they grow up, they put in more evil through what they hear and learn from their parents, friends, and environment. After a person is born, he doesn't remain the same. He learns a lot of knowledge and he learns many things, like as he hangs with bad people, he steals, and he at first he knows that it is a trim. And we are affected by the worldly people, and third, all people in society are to blame for not sharing more love with others. We have to know that among them, we, Christians, are more responsible. We've seen light from God. We've learned about Jesus Christ and the message of the cross and come out of the darkness and into the light by God's grace. So we bear the responsibility to become the beacons of light in this world and guide people into the light. It's because God reached out to us first and has given us His love and grace. Though we were on dirty and ugly way of death, He's led us down the path of eternal life. How amazing! People in the darkness don't realize they're in the darkness since they don't know the light. When someone curses at them or beats them, they get driven with them. They get even with them. Once they suffer a false charge, they have sleepless nights in agony. Spiritually, the darkness refers to what goes against the word of God who is light. Namely, it refers to all sins, evil, unrighteousness, and lawlessness. Though we were formerly in the darkness, we've seen light by the Lord's grace. So, we are to understand those in the darkness. Rather than just condemning them evil, we are to forgive and love them, showing mercy to them. Most of all, we are to demonstrate goodness, love, the beauty of truth, peace, comfort, and joy. When worldly people suffer disadvantage, they hate and quarrel. But men of truth understand and forgive. Even as they yield, they look overjoyed and happy. In the workplace, you introduce yourself as a Christian and you give off the aroma of Christ, then people around you will feel the beauty of the light. And while worldly people criticize their boss who gives them a hard time, men of truth just stay silent, not joining them in gossiping. As they work faithfully and help others in trouble, people count on them. Compared to people who drink all night and enjoy themselves, they seemingly have no fun going to church. Yet, they are always energetic, healthy, and bright. This is how we emanate the aroma of Christ. For our Lord urges us to become the salt and light in this world, we ought to feel more responsible and positively display goodness and love. wherever we are, we ought to drive away the darkness and make things clean. Elihu was judging Job, and if another person listened to that, so we have to draw a lesson from that. When we listen to people's conversation, you know, they can speak words out of ill feelings or make up lies or fabricate a story, and they just say things that don't have to be spoken. And they so when you are out in the world, you have to be careful of what you hear. You should not join others in gossiping. You have to prevent yourself from judging and condemning others. And even if you, well, if what you hear is, and if you criticize those things, why? But you don't have, you have to join them in gossiping and condemning and judging them. So when you talk in the church, you have to have good in conversation of love. But if you criticize others, if you accuse someone of doing this and that, if you,
and
in the following verse, Elihu remarked, "When he keeps quiet, who then can condemn? And when he hides his face, who then can behold him?" That is, in regard to both nation and man. He first said, "When God gives peace to a person, who would even dare say to him, 'You are doing wrong'?" What does this mean? What he meant to say was, if God destroys you, Job, overnight, those poor men and those who are suffering because of you will have peace. Who can say to God, "You are wrong," when he gives peace to those people? Job, because he's saying that Job did harm to many people, so those people who suffer harm because of Job, they would have peace if Job is if Job is destroyed, they would have peace because the tribulations from Job would be gone. So this word contains big condemnation that Job was an evil person, and that the troubles that Job was facing was that, in our words, are such judgment and condemnation, and you make a judgment in your words, and it happens. So we have to be careful with every word and action of ours. To Job, who'd only done good, Elihu said, "If an evil person like you disappears, other people will enjoy peace." So Job must have been speechless in dismay. Because Job wasn't living in the era of the Holy Spirit, no wonder he was bitterly distressed. Let's say someone distresses another person. And when someone is, and Job, Elihu claimed that Job distressed others, and if you hate another person, you see even his good deeds as bad. Describe even his good deeds as bad. That's why you have to discern. You remember how he helped others, how he helped the needy, and you have to discern whether. But if you join others in Solomon, we may have a lot of such areas in our past, like which was like Elihu. You have to discover them in our prayer. We have to remember how we judge and condemn others, and how we misunderstood others and delivered the words. So you have to repent of them, so that you will be found blameless and unblemished before God. Elihu then asked, when he hides his face, who then can behold him? Which means, Job, because you are evil, you cannot see God no matter how much you mourn and cry out. While Elihu continually spoke of the relationship between God and Job in his own way, his expressions got worse and worse. God had neither left Job nor forsaken him. He didn't leave him. He didn't keep away from him. Rather, he was refining Job into a better vessel to meet and bless him. Thus, each and every word of Elihu was far from the truth. How close does God feel to you? Our God dwells in each of our hearts. But depending on how great our faith, God may feel close to us or far away. People with great faith would feel so close to God by receiving answers and blessings always, but those with small faith feel like God is far away since they are lacking experience. Meeting God is not a challenging experience. Since God dwells in light, goodness, and righteousness, to the extent we achieve a heart of light, goodness, and righteousness, and we can meet Him as well. On top of that, if we wholly imitate God's heart like prophet Enoch, we can also have the blessing of walking with God. Earlier, Elihu remarked that God would immediately strike evildoers, and Job was one of them. But in verse 29, he spoke in a broader sense by adding the phrase, in regard to both nation and man. He was saying that God equally applies His justice to a person and a nation. Namely, His justice applies to all. The reason for God to do so is presented in the next verse. He said in chapter 34, verse 30, so that godless man would not rule, nor be snares of the people. Here, being a snare for someone means driving someone into a disaster or slandering and doing him harm. Elihu mentioned that God would strike a godless man, a crafty and wicked one, to prevent him from seizing power and harming people. He claimed that because Job was also one of the godless, God couldn't help but punish him. Elihu viewed God based on his knowledge and spoke as if he was God's spokesperson. In doing so, he showed his great arrogance and committed a sin of taking God's name in vain. If God struck the evil immediately, as Elihu committed, as Elihu claimed, there wouldn't be even a single evil person on this earth, and only good people would remain here. But here on earth, the good and the evil are living together. This is because just as God is the governor of the light, the evil spirits is the ruler of the darkness. Until the human cultivation is completed, the light and the darkness respectively do their roles within the boundaries God set. Therefore, but people, when the evil prosper, some people wonder, why is God leaving him alone? They complain against God, but God doesn't like the God doesn't immediately punish the evil. Then, this is not actually the human cultivation. God, for the kingdom cultivation, God gives each one free will, and He wants us to choose for ourselves. And when we make a good choice, we are blessed, and through us, God. But if we have our own feelings, if someone else distresses us, if we see other people practicing, when it seems that evil prosper, you might. 그러면 이게 하나님 탓입니까? 악이 성한 거 하나님이 왜 그냥 두고 You shouldn't blame God. You shouldn't blame God saying, why does God leave the evil prospering in the end? You know, God judges everything in the end. And the ruler of the darkness is the enemy devil. And the enemy devil also has received their rights and authority. So God does not infringe on their duties, rights. So you have to know this spiritual principle. But if you say words of resentment against God, thinking, why is He prosperous even though He committing evil? They don't. So you have to such a heart and mindset is from the spiritual, you know, in the world there are light and then there are darkness. When God's children walk in the darkness, God chastises them and brings them back to a way of. So what should we do? Brothers or sisters is in darkness, you have to intercede for them and you have to set a good example of light so that other people can discern. But if you keep on fighting, if you keep insisting on yourselves, how could you're making yourself a God? So I always, therefore, I urge you to always choose the light between the two and dwell in it. In your workplace, in your businesses, you have to. You should not expect people in the darkness to go wrong. You should not expect God to punish him, judge him. You should not think that God is not righteous. God, you should not make yourself a God. You should not expect someone to disappear right after a moment. And you. Let me conclude a message. Brothers and sisters, Elihu spoke as if he knew God well and randomly judged and condemned Job. As said in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 26, though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. His hurt pride and the ill feelings against Job, which he had held back for a long time, were revealed. Elihu might have felt relieved and thrilled for a moment, but in doing so, he built a great wall of sin. Please keep in mind how ill feelings stemming from our pride are rottenness to ourselves, cause us anguish, and lead to quarrels and conflicts. Pride is deeply related to arrogance as well. When a person is arrogant, he sticks to his pride and belittles and teaches others, judging and condemning them. Once we shatter our pride and our feelings and completely cast off arrogance, heaven is in our hearts, and we have peace and joy springing up from within. Therefore, I pray in our Lord's name that you will only fill your heart with humility, goodness, and love, thereby having your heart always abounding with peace and joy like heaven.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.